MZTV.
Well, since it is Friday, the day of the meet and greet, and since as you watch this, I am on a plane headed for San Francisco, I thought maybe I would... What? Kansas City. Oh, no. You're kidding me. I'm on a plane heading for San Francisco, and the conference is in Kansas City. Yeah, now I remember. It's Kansas City. Okay, I'm going to be a little late for the meet and greet, ladies and gentlemen, because I booked a flight to San Francisco. No, it's not April Fool's, but I'm just kidding you. I'm heading to Kansas City. Sorry. Didn't mean to scare anybody there. Scared myself a little bit. I'm making this video ahead of time on Wednesday afternoon. I hope you don't mind that. And I thought I'd, you know, keep it a little light today. I want to read a section from my latest book that's now available for sale, Zender on Romans, Volume 1, 626 pages of just startling, beautiful revelation, told in an entertaining fashion. You'll just never find a book like this anywhere. I mean, I write the books that I can't find at the bookstore, but I want to find, but I can't find. I want to find really meaty doctrinal books that are fun to read and that have pictures in them. You know, like this one. You know, every time I look at a book, I flip through it and try to find some pictures. And this one. Interesting, fascinating, engaging, enthralling photographs. And this book is loaded with them. What I want to do today, while I'm flying to Kansas City, is read you from chapter 10 of Zender on Romans. This chapter is called Hypocrisy. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. There's a section in here called Just Like Santa Claus. This is really pathetic. I was writing this book, I think it was 2013. I was working on this particular chapter, and it was the winter of 2013. And in fact, I believe I was staying with a family of believers in Alabama. And this is what I said in the section from chapter 10, Zender on Romans. Chapter is called Hypocrisy. This section is called Just Like Santa Claus. It is 2 days after Christmas as I write, and I saw a particularly juvenile church sign on Christmas Day at a Baptist church here in the city I'm visiting. The sign said, this is absolutely true, ladies and gentlemen. The sign said, quote, God is also making a list and checking it twice. Well, actually, technically, this is true. God has a list bearing each of our names. He knows everything we have ever done in our lives. He knows all the naughty things and all the nice. In the spirit in which this sign was intended, however, it was intended to challenge people to be good boys and girls and to quake in fear if they haven't. This church sign is as wrong as can be. Don't let those rosy cheeks fool you. Santa Claus condemns people for disappointing his big fat self. If you're nice, rejoice. If not, fear. Instead of giving them candy canes and radio flyer wagons, Santa slams naughty people with lumps of coal. If only God were this reasonable. God promotes nice people to heaven and sends naughty people to hell for eternity. Kind of makes lumps of coal look like Rice Krispies treats. In not one Christmas television special I've ever seen did Santa Claus send anyone to hell for eternity. No, not even the Grinch. It's a good thing the Grinch was born again at the end of the show. But, whoops, he was never baptized. This was a major oversight on the part of the Christians in Whoville. I now, therefore, believe the Grinch to be headed to hell for eternity, right along with the elder elf who mocked Hermie for wanting to be a dentist in Rudolph. Santa Claus scared the heck out of me when I was a kid. This is true, folks. I pictured him checking his infamous list. It was miles and miles long, going over every one of my acts of that year. The phrase, "Gonna find out who's naughty or nice," made me quake in my flannel Batman jammies. In one of Santa's hands was a candy cane. If you're nice, Santa gives you diabetes. In another, a lump of coal. Who wanted a lump of coal for Christmas? Who could ever live that down? How could you live down your siblings and all of the neighbor kids getting awesome presents while you got coal? Yet throughout my childhood, I thought this would happen to me. For some reason, I assumed everyone else was nice and that I was the naughty one. I was a reverse hypocrite, actually. I wanted a drum set, but I always had the feeling that Santa would give me coal instead. The neighbor kids would come over on Christmas Day and say, "Did Santa give you your drum set?" And I would have to say, "Well, no, but I did get 3 big lumps of this very dark-colored bituminous substance." Then I would hit the coal chunks using pencils for drumsticks. I would play Wipeout on the coal chunks. I'd make the best of it. The Santa Claus of tradition has a mean streak. Oh, I have a picture in this book, naturally, of the Santa Claus of tradition. Here he is. He's so evil, so mean, so vindictive and petty that he can't even show his face. Terrorized. I always like to walk into your living room as a kid and see this. My God. The Santa Claus of tradition has a mean streak. In spite of his reputation, he is petty, vindictive, and bitter. Something bad must have happened to him as a child. His dad must have beat him over the head with Yule logs from Christmas fires or made him shovel reindeer crap in the snow. In later years, Santa probably had indigestion from eating too many cookies made with margarine and Splenda. But holy Moses, if Santa has indigestion, the God of Christianity must have acid reflux. He can't eat anything. He beat himself over the head with Yule logs. He's so mean, he sits around just waiting to pull rugs out from naughty people. Speaking of the Christian God now. God, why am I going to hell?
Because you were naughty. Next.
You may get away with your little naughtiness after God checks his list once. But when he checks it twice, the second time around he wears glasses, he's going to find out just how naughty you really were. He's going to find out what the fine print actually says. Then you're going to find out just how hot it is at the South Pole of God's righteous indignation. That Baptist church has no qualms painting God in the same light as Santa Claus. God is petty. He can take or leave people depending on how they treat him and others. To determine the eternal destiny of children that he himself created, he does not consult his son, who died for the sake of these children. Oh no, rather, he consults a list of petty crimes committed by sin-afflicted humans thrown into a cauldron of evil and death for which none of them volunteered. No one can stand the scrutiny. So down they all go. Well, why not? If God checks twice for crying out loud, to see if people are naughty, how does anyone not go to hell? Everyone is naughty. The people who think they aren't naughty are the naughtiest of all, because self-righteousness and the accompanying hypocrisy are the granddaddies of all sins. God, why am I going to hell?
You're naughty.
But I didn't do anything wrong.
Thanks for telling me. Now you're a hypocrite as well. Bye-bye now.
Those who would use the first 3 chapters of Romans to condemn other people fail to realize one important thing. This section of Romans, that is the first 3 chapters, is meant to condemn all people. It is not meant, designed, or written to save anyone. Speaking of the first 3 chapters of Romans, let alone everyone. Romans chapter 5 does that. And Romans chapter 5, actually starting in Romans 3:21, we find out what God did about the failures of humanity. But it's such a great point here that humanity in the first three chapters of Romans is found in the first three chapters of Romans, a description of the problem, of the depth of the problem, of the inescapability of the problem, that is, of the inability of humans to escape the problem. That's what we find Romans chapter 1:18 through 3:21. It's Romans chapter 5 that talks about the salvation of everyone. These chapters, these early chapters, are meant to lock up all humanity and moral helplessness apart from the saving work of Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the saving work of Christ that comes to the rescue starting in Romans 3:21. Apart from the saving work of Christ, everyone dies. With the saving work of Christ, everyone lives eventually. This is the testimony of Romans chapter 5, and I am looking forward to getting there. And I know that you are looking forward to reading this. I hope you've ordered it. I will have some at the conference. But order one for yourself and one to give away, please, because this is going to be, after you read this book, you're going to realize that this is the easiest book to give away. Because it's just so freaking gentle and kind, and yet insightful and really scalpel-like precision in dissecting the Word of God, exposing the lies. When I say gentle and kind, of course, it doesn't mean I'm not exposing the lies, brutally exposing the lies, because I do, but it's told in such a, if I may say so, in such a clever, entertaining way that you don't realize you just got slapped upside the head. It's going to be an easy book to give out. And the next question you'll ask is, when is volume 2 coming out? I'm working on it. I meant to add this postscript, ladies and gentlemen, and it is that the conference will be live streamed. Yep, Seth is going to live stream it, as far as I know. So what you need to do is go to my website, martinsender.com, and there will be a link that you can go and click on the link and get to the live stream. Maybe Seth will have the camera on Friday night, which is tonight as you're watching this, at the meet and greet. I don't know, but in case he does, sometimes he's done that. He'll just walk around and talk to people randomly. That might be fun for you to watch. So check on Friday night for a link to the live stream at martinsender.com. But if you don't see anything on Friday, then for sure Saturday morning at 9 a.m. go to martinsender.com, and there should be, if all goes well, there should be a link at my website so you can watch the conference as it's happening. Seth is the one that makes this magic happen. I don't know how he does it, but rumor has it he's going to do it again. So even if you can't be there in person, you can watch it right along with everybody else. I hope you do. Grace and peace.